in grace. Now, you can imagine how there might be some drifting. I live in the building. If somebody is all they're doing is writing letters, they're never showing up. It's like a boss that is absent from the workplace and sending messages to the workers about what they're supposed to do, but never shows up. And you can imagine how there might be some drifting there with the workers and doing what they're supposed to do. Well, the same was probably true here. There was some drifting that was happening in the midst of the church, and even some bad attitudes were taking root and developing and kind of spreading. And it's developed in the group. Paul was kind of the main human architect of the church. We know the Holy Spirit was at work giving birth to the church. You can't come away without believing that if you didn't go back. The Holy Spirit is at work giving birth to the church. But Paul really is one of the main architects of the early church. And yet he was absent much of the time. And so his communication was through these letters that he had written. So this is what's happening as we get to the end of 2 Corinthians. Paul is addressing some drifting. And so let me just give us four examples throughout the book of 2 Corinthians that illustrate some of this drifting. And I'm just going to, let's do a little bit of a study here, okay? And so take your Bibles, and let's move about through this book of 2 Corinthians and see what Paul is addressing. What are some of these matters that have brought about this drifting? Well, the first thing is this. There were harsh words in his letters. You've heard it said sometimes, it's better not to write things down, because if you write things down, then, you know, it's there, and you can't do away with it. Well, Paul put his words in writing. They were harsh words. And so there was that aspect of his writings. But there's also, as we read, there's this kind of failure on the part of Paul to make a planned visit to Corinth. And so he had intended to make a travel in his travels to stop by Corinth and to be with the believers, and that trip never happened. Turn over to chapter 1 and verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, which is here right here in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity, in godly sincerity. Now again, we need to hear these words, not as polite words that Paul is just kind of blowing off of Paul's tongue. These are actually Paul's kind of civic register here. Okay. We've dealt with you with integrity, with godly sincerity. And we have done so edifying, relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write anything we cannot read or understand. I hope that as you have understood us in part, that you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us, not as we will boast of you in the day, but just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. So Paul is addressing here the way that he spoke to the Corinthians. I turn over to chapter 2 and verse 15 and 17 of chapter 1. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath, I say both yes, and no? So Paul is defending himself here. He's trying to say, my plan was to come to see you. That didn't work out. And so Paul is addressing some of the drifting that had come about in the hearts of the Corinthians. Paul used harsh words to them. So their hearts the idea there of the kind of drifting. Also, there was the harshness of his words. Look at chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. I have confidence in all of you, that you would all share my joy. For I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. So Paul again is speaking that he's written this way to them to touch their hearts, not to tear them down, but to build them up. Moving on from there, Paul is addressing some of the drifting that was happening in Corinthians, identifying what is ultimately of value. So part of what was happening is Paul is not an eloquent person. We might think otherwise. Paul makes it very clear that he was not an eloquent speaker. But it seems as if the Corinthians valued the eloquence, and Paul was not meeting the mark. He kind of be a preacher that the church didn't think really had, you know. But what Paul is saying is he's trying to identify what's of value. Eloquence or the display of God's power. And Paul is going to address this kind of drifting, the drifting towards a preference for eloquence rather than toward a display of God's power. Turn over to chapter 11, verses 5 through 7. I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles, Paul says. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? And then later in the book of Corinthians, Paul talks about how Christ's strength is made evident in Paul's weakness. And so if Paul is a less than an eloquent speaker, then it's in that kind of weakness that the strength, the power of Christ is made evident. In my weakness, I am made strong, Paul says. That's later in the first reading. So Paul is addressing this drifting of the people, preferring eloquence as opposed to a display of God's power. And what Paul is saying is what's of value in the life of the church is not eloquence, but a display of God's power. All right, let me move on here. Another thing that I believe Paul is addressing is that I think that the Corinthians were turning away from Paul because of So all of this defending that Paul is making is in an effort to grab hold of and hang on to the heart of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 11, we have spoken clearly to you, Corinthians, and open wide our hearts to you. Verse 12, we are not withholding our affections from you, but you are withholding yours from us. So Paul is saying here, we've given you our hearts, we've opened our hearts fully to you, and yet you are not extending your hearts to us. And so Paul is wanting to address that. And he's wanting to open their hearts wide to Paul again. So that's the crux of the matter that Paul is addressing as he makes his way through this letter. Chapter 7, verse 2 says, make room in your hearts for us. And Paul used hard words in his letters, but it was to build them up, not tear them down. Paul exhorted them. And at the end of his letter, he trusted on the Lord to bring about the right kind of building up, not so much through his harsh words, but through God's perfect adjustments. I want to refer us back to verses 9 and verse 11 that refer to this kind of perfect adjustment. If you look at verse 9, we are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong in our prayers that you may be fully restored or perfectly adjusted. And this is God's work of adjusting perfectly to his people. The Lord is working to bring about some perfect adjustments in these Corinthians related to the challenges that I've just identified for us. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. Verse 11 is Paul begins to address imperatives for the Corinthian Christians, things that will come out of their lives, or things that they need to be attending to or paying attention to, that is a part of God's work of fully, perfectly adjusting this body of Christ, these believers in Corinth. Verse 11. These words here are imperative verbs. That means they are commands. These are not just suggestions. These are actually things that Paul is presenting in the form of imperatives. What are these? First one is rejoice. Rejoice. You rejoice. The second one is you be perfected, or you be perfectly adjusted. The third one is, you be exhorted or admonished. The fourth one is, you be of the same mind. But another way of thinking about that is this, you think the same way. These are imperatives that Paul is expressing to these believers. And the last one is, you be brought to peace. Be at peace, or you be brought to peace. See, this is God's work bringing about peace. Qualities that verse 11 describes in the hearts of these people. Paul is going to reconnect to these believers, and it's God's work of making the adjustments that will cause that connection to be reestablished between Paul and the believers in Corinth. Rejoice. Rejoice. You rejoice. For there to be that connection again between Paul and those believers, is the presence of joy. The presence of joy. And any time that difficulty or conflict or disappointment or other things can enter into the life of the church, the first thing to go is joy. And yet Paul is saying this, for your hearts to be ours and for my heart to be yours, the church has got to rejoice together. The joy of the Lord has to find its place back into you be perfectly adjusted or fitted. The way that I think about this is that there is a way in which we submit to God's adjusting work in us. You see, God wants to be working not just in the Corinthian Christians, but also in us to make the adjustments in our heart that He wants to make. And so there is this call, But we are all called to have the mind of Christ. You all think the same. Don't just be of one mind. Think the same. Think the same as Christ. Be of the same mind. Have the same mind of Christ together. You be admonished. You be exhorted. In other words, be open to God's work of heart in you. Be teachable. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and teach you. These things were necessary as God was perfectly adjusting these beliefs. And then be brought to peace. Be brought to peace with the work that God is doing in you with one another. And Paul is saying also with me. He brought that to peace with me, Paul said. I want to suggest that this work that Paul describes in verse 11 is the same work that the Lord wants to do among us here in our gathering. He wants to make some adjustments to bring about a kind of fit in his body. So let's go back and think about these same commands in verse 11 as they relate to us. Rejoice together. You rejoice. This return of joy in the gathering that comes from the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit that brings about that joy. So, I want to just speak a word of you and say that sometimes in the midst of a church like ours, there can be sometimes a lot of awesome joy if we perceive that the room is half full, half empty. Where's the joy? The joy is gone. Why? Because the room is not full. Listen, our joy is not dependent on the full room. Our joy is dependent on the presence and work of the Spirit. And Paul is saying to us, rejoice. Rejoice as you walk into this place and we gather together. Rejoice. The Lord is here and the Holy Spirit is at work in great power. The second one, perfectly adjusted, submitting to God's adjusting work in you and me. In other words, the Lord saying, allow me to work in you so that you are fitted together. And for us to be fitted together, a room full of people that probably don't have a good reason to be together except for Jesus. That God works in each of us to make us his body and fits us together. Perfect adjustments that we make in our lives. You be fitted. Have the same mind, the mind of Christ. What is holding us together in this way is the mind of Christ. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ also. Be open to God's work of heart. Be teachable. That's what I believe Paul is saying. He says, you be admonished. You be admonishable. You be teachable. Be open to God's work of heart in you. Be open to God's work of heart. It is God's work, not my work, but the work of God's Spirit. Two final thoughts. First, God is good, and his will is always. And his will is good and perfect, according to Romans 12, 2. But we can get in the way of his perfect adjustments in our lives. We can't even undo his work if we're not sure. Our sin, What in your life can get in the way of God making the kind of perfect adjustments that He wants to make in you? Is it stubbornness? Is it laziness? Is it too little faith? Is it too little courage? Is it that you're in love with the things of the world? Maybe there's an area of sin or temptation that has wrapped itself around you. Maybe there's conflict with someone. Maybe you're gripped by worry about something. I can keep going when you get the point. Today, with God's help, get out of the way and let Him be adjusting and do some adjusting in your life. The second thing I want to end with is this. The Lord perfectly adjusts us so that He fits us together as His body, His people, gathered for worship, for discipleship, for mission. And He fits us together according to His plan, according to His will, according to His purpose. The final thing I want to leave us with is that He does that perfect adjusting, that perfect fitting. Through all that He is, the Father, the Spirit, the Son. Look at verse 14. This could be a benediction. We could read it as just a nice benediction that rolls off the tongue. This could be an ending. But I don't believe that this is a benediction or an ending. I actually think that what Paul is saying is that it's according to these things about God that He makes the adjustments in us. If you want to know what it is that God is doing, you need to know what it is about God that causes Him to work in us. And so we can read this way, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Or we can hear it this way. Paul is saying this. God will make the adjustments in your lives. You need to know who this God is that's working those adjustments in you. It is Jesus Christ, the Son, who is full of grace. It is God the Father, who is full of agape love. And it is the Holy Spirit of God who causes to happen between brothers and sisters in Christ. It's kind of koinonia. It cannot be separated. It cannot be destroyed. And so Paul is saying, know that this is the God that is at work in you making those adjustments. Perfectly adjusted. By the Son, full of grace. By the Father, full of love. And by the Spirit, who brings about perfect. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this word to us today, your word to us. Might we open our hearts to you, to your work,